This is a great church, and I am just thrilled to be here and to be a part of you and to be a part of this Starbucks series. I have to tell you that I love coffee, and I also love Starbucks coffee, and I'm also a bit of a thrifty person, and so I brew Starbucks coffee at home. You know, we moved this last week, and when you move, you find a lot of things you didn't know you had. And I was cleaning out the refrigerator at the old house, found a lot of things I didn't know I had. Filled up a wastebasket. One of the things in my thriftiness that I do in the summertime is when I have a little bit of coffee left in the bottom of the pot, is I'll pour it into a pitcher, put it in the fridge, and when I get enough, you know, I can have iced coffee. Well, I'd done that through the summer, and so I pulled out that pitcher. Do you know that even in the refrigerator, old coffee can get moldy? Not only did I throw out the coffee, I threw out the pitcher. I didn't think I could ever get it clean. What a great church, man. You can even drink coffee when you preach. You know, when you go to Starbucks or when you brew a cup of coffee at home, you don't do so just so you can look at the coffee, smell the aroma. You brew coffee, you buy coffee. Why? So you can drink coffee. And in Len Sweet's book about the gospel according to Starbucks, his second letter, our second sermon in this series of Epic is participation. We go to Starbucks, we brew coffee so we can participate in the experience of drinking coffee. And if coffee is not drunk and it gets cold, it's pretty useless. We come to church also to participate in worship. And if we don't participate in the worship service, then it's pretty worthless. Now, we can read about worship. We can sit on the sidelines and watch people sing and watch people pray and not participate. And if we do so, it's real hard to get anything out of it. Do you know that this last week, Religious News Service released the results of a poll that was done by AOL to see how addicted people are to their personal devices, Blackberries, etc. Found out that, to no surprise, people in the Washington, D.C. area are the most addicted. But they also asked the question, how many of you have checked your email or sent a text message during worship? Atlanta won that race. 22% of people in Atlanta said that they've checked their email or sent a text message during church. Who here's done that? My husband's sitting back there. I wouldn't be surprised. You can't participate in worship if you're writing a text message. You can't get anything from worship by looking at worship, watching worship. We get something out of worship by participation. So yesterday morning when I came at the ungodly hour of 8 a.m. on a Saturday morning, the leadership of this place is crazy, I've decided. So we gathered and we're talking about the sermon, the service, the sermon, and one of the folks in the band said, oh, this is your big debut. I said, yeah, it is, and I want a drum roll, please. Now, I was mistaken. Because for me to get a drum roll for my big sermon debut here would mean that I was the star of the show. I'm not the star of this show. Neither's Jim. Neither's the video screen. You are. One way of thinking about worship is to think about it as that you guys are the audience and I'm the star of the show. But a more realistic or true way of thinking about worship is that we are all actors together in this show. And who is the audience? We do what we do for God. And God is our audience. Liturgy means the work of the people. We come together to worship together, to sing, to pray, to greet, to touch, to listen. And God is the audience. And together we are the cast members. There are several reasons we come to church. We come to church to be with other Christians. You know, remember last week Jim said when he talked to his Bible study group, why do you come to church? That was their number one reason, to be with their friends, people who have become family to them within this church family. So we come to church to be with other Christians. We come to church because we have a need to give. We have a need to give praise together. Some of us can sing in the shower, and it's one experience. But when we join together with hundreds of other people and sing loudly, "Here I am, Lord," it's a completely different experience. We also come to church to be challenged, to think about old ways of doing things and see options for new ways of doing things. And you've all heard the adage that we come to church, or what happens in church is that we afflict the comfortable and comfort the afflicted. For those who are sad, who are going through a difficult time, who are recovering from an illness, church is here to comfort. For those of us who, for whom life is going pretty well, we think we are doing a pretty good job, maybe we come here so we can be afflicted in our comfort and reminded that there is something greater than ourselves out there. And we all want to be a part of something greater than ourselves. This summer, our bishop wrote an email, sent it out to the conference, and he said, "Which do you prefer, a bib or an apron? If you would like to have a bib when you first come in to the building, it means that you are coming to worship to be fed." And about the most upsetting thing somebody can say to a pastor is that, "Well, I'm leaving this church, I just didn't get fed here." When that happens, we know that we are dealing with an infant in the faith, because they have a consumerist mentality that I shop for the church that makes me feel the best and keeps me in my comfort zone. Those are the kinds of Christians who need to be spoon-fed a simple faith, and they need bibs. On the other hand, most of us who come to worship together are people of aprons. Aprons, a sign of service. Last Sunday, Jim put on an apron, so I brought my own apron for this Sunday. Wish I had enough for all of you, because this is the reality of this congregation. We are here to serve. To serve one another, yes. To serve our God most of all. Now, the life of service is not an easy life, not always a comfortable life, but it's a life that is led in response to the call and to the claim of Jesus Christ in our lives. We come to church because we see the world as it is, and we ask, why can't it be different? We come to church to be with other people who have an alternative view of this world, who know that God is at work in this world, and we want to be a part of what God is doing. We come to church to follow Jesus Christ and to be sent out to serve the least, the lost, the last, the lonely. We are Christians in the line of Martin Luther King Jr. and Mother Teresa and Dorothy Day and all the other visionary people who followed their Lord and Savior and in the process changed the world. And for some of them, it led to a cross. Not a comfortable life, but a life of meaning. In a moment, we're going to be passing out these ministry menus. They are for you to hold on to the next 2 weeks. Not only to look over, not only to read over, but also to pray over. The video that we just saw says help wanted. We don't want volunteers here at Christ United Methodist Church. We want ministers. We want people who serve their Lord and Savior Jesus Christ through the ministries of this church. And every single one of us here, every single baptized Christian, is a minister. So if you want to be in service, if you want to feed people as Christ calls us to, you can sign up for number 4, feeding the people. If you want to be a part of a healing ministry, you can sign up for Each One, Reach One. I already have some experience with that group. They do marvelous work on behalf of God, visiting our shut-ins. Be a part of the prayer ministries, Roma Coffee House. Be a part of the education ministries. Do you want our children to grow up with faith? Do you want this next generation to be different than the present generation? Shape the future. Work with the children. Many opportunities here for ministry, for service, and take it home and read it, look at it, and pray. What are your gifts and passions? What do you do well that you can give to God? What are you passionate about? What lights your fire? What keeps you up at night? What are you enraged about? What are you really angry about? Drugs in our society? Well, if it's not on the menu, we'll create something so that you can work and we can join you in working to help those whose lives are being destroyed by illegal substances. Right here is your call to ministry. We need every single person. I know, I'm new here. I can't make the rules yet. Yet. But I'd like to make a challenge. What would happen, not only in this church, but in this community, in the city of Lafayette, in the world, if 100% of people who are given a ministry menu become involved in one service ministry through this church? We turn things upside down. God's power would be unleashed. And we need every single person. Paul puts it this way in 1 Corinthians 12. He says, every person is given something to do that shows who God is. Everyone gets in on it. Everyone benefits. All kinds of things are handed out by the Spirit and to all kinds of people. The way God designed our bodies is a model for understanding our lives together as a church. Every part dependent on every other part. You are Christ's body. That's who you are. You must never forget this. Only as you accept your part of that body does your part mean anything. Well, I can hear the yes buts. Yes, but. But I'm too small. I'm too insignificant. I don't have what it takes. Anybody who says they're too small and too insignificant to make a difference has never been in bed with a mosquito. A small, insignificant pest who makes a big difference. God can take our smallness and what we perceive as our insignificance, transform it, and make it something beautiful. Yes, but I'm just so busy. You know, I work full time and I take care of the house and I only have a few years to be with these children God has blessed me with, and I don't have the time. Another thing I could wish as your pastor, your new pastor, how about I'll make an appointment with each and every one of you and we'll sit down individually and you will show me your bank statements and your calendars. Well, then I'd be your pastor for maybe 24 hours. But our bank statements and our calendars show us our priorities in life. And I've learned over the years that if you want to get something done, ask a busy person to do it. Because a busy person knows what's important and will make the time to be a part of what's important. What's most important in your life? Is Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior? How are you going to follow? Where will you participate? Oh, my old church was a little church. Boy, they said I wouldn't want to go to that big church, Christ Church. So many people, I just feel lost. And that's true. That can happen in big churches. But you want to know the secret for that, how you can overcome that? Get involved in a ministry. Be a part of a small group. And all of a sudden, this big church that worships, 1,200 people on Easter morning, you will have your place, your people, your family, your friends here, because you don't have to do it alone. That's a wondrous thing about being church. The other wonderful thing about church is that it's here that we get to bump up against people who are different from ourselves. You know, we live in communities where everybody looks the same, does the same, is the same as us. We come to church, we get to be with people who are different, and we stretch and we grow. Once there was a 10-year-old girl named Jamie who lost her arm in a terrible accident. She was devastated. After the hospitalization, she got home. She just couldn't go back to school yet. She just couldn't face her classmates. Finally, her mom persuaded her to go back to church, to go back to Sunday school, and Jamie agreed to do so. And her mom called up the Sunday school teacher and said, "Jamie's coming back to Sunday school this week. Please don't do anything that will call attention to her missing arm." And the teacher agreed that he would not. But then he got sick, called a sub, forgot to tell the sub. So Jamie goes back to Sunday school. The end of the class, the sub asked the people to do the finger play. "Here's the church. Here's the steeple. Open the doors, see all the people." And as they started to do that, Jamie's eyes filled with tears. And then a 13-year-old boy noticed, and he came over and he knelt beside her. And together, they made the church and the steeple and opened the doors, and there were the people. That's church, friends. Together, we are body of Christ. Centuries ago, Saint Teresa of Avila put it this way: "Christ has no body on earth but yours, no hands but yours, no feet but yours. Yours are the eyes through which the compassion of Christ looks out onto a hurting world. Yours are the feet with which he is to go about doing good. Yours are the hands with which he is to bless now." Christ has no body except ours. It's a joy to be part of the body of Christ here at Christ Church. Thank you.